You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Wednesday, 5 May. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Wayne McCurry as Yellen spooks stocks, and I want to chat Anglo American and BHP. Kia Nyoma, investment case for Aspen, Henry Bidderkomm, tech giant knockout results, and particularly some YouTube, LinkedIn. I mean, it's not even the big picture, some of those small bits as well. A poll from Monday, we skipped yesterday because of the birthday show. We were chatting with Keelan and Glover around office space, and we asked you if there was an investment opportunity there. 34% said absolutely. 12% said maybe, they're nibbling. 24% cautious, but a full 30% of you said nope, not at all. MoneyWeb Now brought to you by Orbvest, a global real estate company that has a hyper-focus on acquiring stable, income-producing medical buildings in the USA. Investors use Orbvest's online platform to invest directly into low-risk commercial real estate, primarily in the healthcare niche in the USA, from as little as $5,000. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Equities increased their full-year distribution, but the stock down almost 6%. They were devaluing SA properties down 5%, UK up 5%. I think the market might have been a bit spooked, but like loan-to-value 31%, I thought not a bad set of results. Business Day, Pepkor raises $2.2 billion in an oversubscribed bond auction. Remember, they've got what? Pep Ackerman, incredible connection, and they're going to use the money more than anything to pay down medium-term debt and some improved liquidity, but mostly debt payment. The U.S. markets red, S&P off 0.7, Nasdaq off 1.9, Asia green, Sydney up 0.7, Tokyo closed again today for Chorin Day. Commodities green overnight, gold 1781, Rand 1443, and top 40 opening looking for about 150 points higher, or 0.25%.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Wayne McCurry, Senior Portfolio Manager, FNB Wealth and Investment. Wayne, appreciate your early morning time. U.S. markets, a bit of a beating last night as Janet Yellen, who of course is now Treasury Secretary, was previously chair of the Federal Reserve, basically saying that she thought rates might need to rise. It's a weird situation. I mean, she, you know, when Trump tried to push around Jerome Powell, he didn't blink. I don't know if he's going to do the, does he hold firm against Yellen? I would imagine he does.
Probably does, but understand rates have to go up. These rates are at abnormally low levels. So at some stage, in some time in the future, rates are going to have to go up.
Yeah,
I mean, it's just a question of when, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose that's a fair point. I mean, there's no debate that rates are going lower. I mean, you know, the U.S. is not going to negative. So in essence, they have to start rising. Your sense, I mean, Powell's been saying sort of next year, 2022, maybe even 23. Your sense is he perhaps, you know, being a little overly optimistic and might have to raise earlier?
Well, we don't know, because all of this will depend on what happens to inflation in the U.S. Now, I think inflation will be very benign for a sustained time period, but rates can still go up with inflation being benign because they are abnormally low. So I don't think we're in danger of a massive increase in interest rates where we see the long bond go to 3% or 3.5% and short-term rates go to 2.5% or 3% as well. I don't think we're in danger of that. But this staying at effectively zero, they have got to go up at some stage. So I think we're going to get away with this period of very low interest rates and massive capital injections. But, you know, this is, at the end of the day, the only real answer that asset managers have got to make over the next 2 years is, are the rates going to 1%? Or 4%.
Yeah, and that is the, I take your point, that is the giant question, and it is not an easy question, but that's why they earn the big bucks. Anglo-American, BHP Billiton, I mean, BHP was sort of really storming, come off a bit, Anglo finally at new highs. Obviously, the underlying commodities, iron ore, PGMs, etc., really boosting these stocks. Your view, I mean, do you have a preference between the two of them? Is it one or the other, both, neither?
I'll probably go for Anglos because it's got platinum, which I'm very well. It's got PGMs, which I'm very bullish about on a 10 to 15 year basis. I think the outlook is truly fantastic for them. And of course, they've got a big copper exposure as well. Copper's probably going to be the winner. But understand that we are experiencing a very normal commodity upcycle at the moment. It is as strong, if not a little bit stronger, than previous up cycles we've seen. Now, they can stay high for another year. Prices, the commodity prices can stay high for another year. But in 2 to 3 years' time, they'll probably be 40% lower than where they are now, because this is a cycle. And also very typical of a cycle, all you hear is good news. No, the prices were never going to fall because there's been no capital investment and demand is strong. So it's a very, very normal cycle. But platinum in particular, I'm bullish about secularly, and copper, because the new revolution has started, which is electrification, and that obviously is extremely good for copper.
Yeah, and I take your point. This is proper. This is cyclical, and it happens. And as you say, when it's going up, there's no bad news, but prices will go down. Wayne McCurry, senior portfolio manager, FMB Wealth and Investment. A poll today on our social medias, including Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. Your preference. Wayne there said he preferred Anglo-American. Do you agree with him? Perhaps BHP, perhaps neither, perhaps both. Let us know on our social media profiles.
You've worked hard to accumulate wealth, but with these uncertain times, how can you preserve and grow your wealth in a safer place?
Offshore.
While earning regular quarterly dividends in US dollars. The solution is here. Hundreds of investors from across South Africa are investing in specialized medical real estate in the USA, sourced by a highly skilled team who make it easy for you. Orbvest SA, an authorized FSP.
Visit orbvest.com.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Jenny and I with Kian Nonyana. He is Manager Equities and Derivatives at Think Markets. Kian, appreciate your early morning time. Chatting Aspen, a company that is in a markedly better shape just from their balance sheet and debt. And a couple of years ago, they were almost in breach of debt covenants. In fact, they got some waivers as they had to sell assets to pay off the debt. But that balance sheet looking a lot better and looking sustainable. And frankly, kudos to management for turning it around in relatively quick time.
They have really turned around the business operations in relatively quick time. But I do not believe that the business was a bad business when they were being breached of the covenants. It's just, I think the strategy of acquire, improve, then deliver was just getting too onerous. And as well as the low cost of capital for the debt they raised made some projects seem viable when they probably weren't.
Yeah, and I remember, I take your point, and I mean, Stephen Sard and his team, they did a great job, and I heard him in an interview once, and he said, you know what, we never had to issue shares. All of this was, we raised debt, we never issued shares, never diluted shareholders, and we ultimately paid it off. I mean, it had been working, perhaps one or two mispriced, but it had been a strategy. I suppose the bankers then got involved and didn't like their debt covenant breaches.
Essentially, that was the problem. I do not necessarily believe that the strategy itself was one that hadn't worked, and management were just generally implementing a strategy which has worked before. I think the fault in that strategy was now starting to diversify outside of brands that they would have ordinarily have made successful. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of the brands that they were starting to go into were just not part of the old business model, and I think that's part of why that strategy started to fail in recent years.
And looking forward now, I mean, you know, balance sheet looking better. They've got rid of some of their businesses. They've still got, obviously, a bunch of branded and generic drugs. You make the point that actually, as elective surgeries start to return, this is going to help revenues. And, you know, during the pandemic, elective surgeries disappeared. And that actually a vaccine is going to add even further sort of annuity income in those years ahead. They are well positioned going forward.
I mean, they have been highly operationally efficient over the interim, and adding annuity income to your as an earnings driver, as well as elective surgeries, and as you know, outside of Africa, most global populations are starting to age, And if we're really looking at forecasts of the demand for the anesthetic products, the thrombotics, as well as the generic brands, we're starting to see quite an increase in that forecast. And I think that gives them a good opportunities for their earnings, as well as being involved in the J&J vaccine production, which is estimated to produce about 300 million doses per annum. That adds quite an interesting earnings mix for the future periods.
And that aging population, I mean, it's a global trend. People are living longer, therefore they're having more, often cases, elective surgery in old age as our bodies sort of struggle with the extra years. That's a huge trend, and they are incredibly well positioned for it. I mean, the healthcare sector generally is going to benefit from it. Aspen, because of some of the drugs they supply, they are a play on people living longer.
And essentially, they're a play on emerging markets. I mean, yesterday Pfizer came out with results. And I mean, with Aspen, we can only compare Aspen to its international peers. There's nothing local that I think is comparable here. I mean, Pfizer's results were incredible yesterday, which came out to market, pre-market. And I mean, you're starting to see the demand for the elective surgeries, the demand for even some of the expiring brands expiring patents from Pfizer, which I also think gives Aspen an opportunity to enter into markets as patents start to expire.
They've also got a very strong manufacturing base. I mean, they've got that plant down in Gqeberha, which is, you know, doing the Johnson & Johnson COVID vaccines. They're actually going to be expanding that as well, which is going to give them even more capacity, and I think is one of the sort of aces up their sleeve.
I mean, that plant in Gqeberha really is just going to just become part of the strategy to become more cost efficient. As I said previously, I think Aspen is one of the most operationally efficient manufacturing pharmaceuticals in the world. And if they're going to move a lot of their production in-house, it's going to provide cost efficiencies as they raise production and bring cost per unit down, and it'll feed through straight to the bottom line.
Your price target on it, you've got the research out, folks can find it on the Think Markets website. You're looking at what, about 185 Rand. I mean, it's trading about 160 now. I think it was actually a little lower when that report initially came out. It had a huge run last week. And you're certainly saying that this is a stock that has some upside to it.
I mean, yes, yesterday in a quiet day of trade, I mean, I think it was Monday the 26th. Aspen was up almost 10%, and primarily with double traded volumes. I mean, it really did give our price target. It really did get close to our price target, but I think there's some institutional interest on the stock. But I mean, I think we are at the top end of the price target range when I compare ourselves to our industry peers. Mm-hmm. But we really are a very liker of Aspen. Purely, first of all, at a valuation level. I mean, it's trading at about 10.33 forward price earnings and about a 10.36 EV to EBITDA, forward EV to EBITDA, which, I mean, when we look at historical times, it once had about 30 times.
Yeah.
Now it's at sometimes it's at about 20 times. I mean, at valuation alone, we find the stock very undervalued. And plus on top of that, the key earnings drivers that we have identify for the investment really just makes 185 seem, I think from my team, also a bit prudent.
Yeah, I agreed with you. I think it's one of the great stocks. And as you point out, there's not much, it's got no competition on our market. Kia Nanyana, he is Manager Equities and Derivative Sales at Think Markets. Appreciate the early morning.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Joining now with Henry Biddlecombe. He's a fund manager, Anchor Capital. He is our sort of tech giant guru. Henry, talking about tech giants, Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, Apple, results in the last week or so, and collectively, I mean, knocking it out the park.
Yeah, they did, but I guess this earnings season is either the most exciting or most disappointing. I can't decide which.
So give me your disappointing case.
I guess the results have been spectacular, right?
Yeah.
But the price reactions haven't been so spectacular.
Yeah.
And Investing.com actually put out an article which I think summed it up quite well. They said the triple headers, in other words, stocks that both beat earnings and revenue expectations and raised their forward guidance, have risen a collective 2.5% this earnings season in the week after their report, versus their 10-year average of 5%. So the market's been underwhelmed with what have been spectacular performances.
I mean, it was. I take your point. I remember looking when the Apple results came out and the market was like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, come on. You know, almost doubled in China, billions and billions and hundreds of billions of dollars of cash. But what to me was, you know, we get the 2020 story in the pandemic. It's kind of like they've almost moved to a new level. I mean, take Alphabet, for example. I mean, YouTube revenue, it's almost as big as Netflix.
Yeah, well, I mean, the performance is just very, very strong across the board. And YouTube growing, you know, their revenues by a huge margin. Same thing you said for Netflix. I mean, Netflix, very exciting story. But this is a company which, you know, wasn't going to be clearly profitable 10 years ago, which is now meaningfully profitable. I mean, the net margin sitting at around 25%. And right now, I think the stock relative to profitability, at least, is the most attractive it's been in a long, long time. But the market's just run out of steam. So I think what's happening is that tech stocks were the flavor of the month last year.
Yeah.
And expectations have run ahead of themselves. And perhaps investors are now rotating back into the physical economy stocks, where, you know, on a risk-adjusted basis, they're a little bit more obvious from an investment perspective over the next 12 months.
Yeah, no, I take your point. And that reopening trade, suddenly everyone's buying, you know, airlines and hotels and cruise liners, etc. A quick last question. The Apple Epic court case started Monday. This is Epic suing Apple, saying that their app store is anti-competitive, monopolistic, etc., etc. This is probably going to drag on for years and years and years with appeals, and it might even end up in the Supreme Court. Your sense? I mean, I think Epic's got a case, but I got to say, I think Apple probably wins at the end.
You know, well, it's such a difficult one because both sides have good arguments. If you're Apple, you've created a way for a developer to instantly access over a billion users overnight. Now, previously, that was never possible.
Yeah.
And in fact, if you told the developers it was possible 10 years ago, they would have told you that 30% is a very reasonable price to pay for that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, 30% is a meaningful chunk of revenue. By any measure. So, you know, I think what will happen is this will get dragged out, but there will be competitors who will come into play, who will charge a lot less than 30%. Because, you know, at the end of the day, that's what attracts competitors into a space, is a huge level of profitability. And if you can develop an app store that charges just 10%, then you can gain traction well. You know, then why wouldn't Epic just go through your store instead of Apple's? Yes. It's difficult to circumvent Apple's store, but I just think that where there are outsized profits, ultimately people will innovate something.
Yeah, and in fact, I think it was Microsoft, their desktop app store, they've done just that. They've dropped their fee to 10%. That's just trying to get some traffic there. Henry Obidokun, Fund Manager, Anchor Capital, our tech guru, appreciate your early morning, sir. The show is brought to you by Obvest's latest investment opportunity, Obvest Diversified Holdings Number 4. It's a fund that will invest you into a range of Obvest investments offering instant diversification. For more information, visit obvest.com. Obvest SA, authorized financial service provider, license number 50483. The poll that we're asking you on our Facebook, our Twitter, our LinkedIn, social medias, of the two big diversified miners on the JSE, Anglo American and BHP, they both hit some highs. BHP under a bit of pressure more recently. Which is your preferred? Anglo American, BHP, neither, both? Wayne McCurry definitely preferring Anglo American. His argument around the PGM and copper being most of the point around that. Let us know on our social medias. That's it for today. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7 a.m. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie Cordora, Nicole Matapela, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.